B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
Over Under 985, the podcast. Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshatz. This is the way we've been connecting over the last couple of weeks as he is on, sabbatical? What the hell's going on? We haven't been seeing you on Thursdays on Thatcher and Rich.
No, I know. I've been, I have to work. So I've been going out to San Diego for the past couple of weeks. A company I work for is based out of there. And so because of that, I've been traveling back and forth, during the week and everything, coming back on Friday mornings, like flying in at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. And so because of that, I'm not here, but I only have one more week. Next week is my last week, and then I'll be done.
Well, we are recording this podcast almost at 11 o'clock on a Friday night, so we'll get a lot of the look-aheads, NHL, NBA, college basketball, the Pro Bowl, all that this week, and of course, Super Bowl 53, and if we take a look at last week, right off the bat, now, Dave, we didn't give out any picks when it came to the actual AFC Championship weekend. Mine was just a straight fade off of the fact that home teams over the last 5 years have been 9-1 against the spread and 10-0. Now, I did like the Rams. I bought it up to 3.5, and I took the money line, and I did the same thing with the Patriots, 3.5 and money line. So whatever the outcome was, whatever people want to think about that non-call or pass interference, they still could have hit that 3.5. So I hit both. I'm very happy about that. I lost my PP in Michigan. They had a 2-point lead and then lost to Wisconsin. So the PPs are very, very cold right now. And one other thing, because I know you had a big week, crushed UFC dogs. Went 5-1 in dogs. I took an under just for shits in Greg Hardy. It missed by 2 seconds. So big weekend. I've been hot. The last loss I had was Michigan that Saturday, Dan.
Yeah, I know. You've been doing very well, to be honest with you. I'm outside of Monday where I rushed everything. I was traveling. Travel Mondays are tough for me. I got to stop putting out points on Monday because what I do is I do my research. Either I do my research on the plane or I try and do it at the airport. So I only had like an hour and a half. So I really only looked at 5 or 6 games that intrigued me from the night before. And I didn't have time to do everything I normally do. Didn't do a good job and obviously went 0-2 that way on Monday. But I've been 2-1, 2-0, and 2-0 ever since. So, I mean, you know, you take the losses with the wins and whatever. Last week, obviously, PP was not great. I had the Saints. I thought they were going to win at home. Or I didn't have an NFL PP, but I thought the Saints were going to win at home. I thought the I thought the Chiefs would find a way to win that game,
which is weird because you faded Mahomes all year.
It is, but I thought that they were the better team, and I thought they were at home. And now the Pats came out with, and again, here's the thing, is that the actual game plan that Bill came up with was immaculate. I mean, really, just truly amazing. And because of that, they were able to stop them. I mean, people are not giving Bill Belichick enough credit. That first half was a absolute art masterwork by Bill Belichick.
It was the greatest half they played all year.
By far.
Defense, at least.
Just in general. And by far. And so, you know, that was absolutely incredible. So, you know, that was extremely impressive. The whole game was impressive. The Pats were impressive. People are complaining about the coin flip in the overtime. I mean, really suck it. You know, the Saints had the ball in overtime and they didn't win. So
what was there to complain about in last week's game? Maybe, you know, that Saints call, you know, maybe that would have been it. Kill the clock, kick a field goal, and that's it.
Yeah.
They had a chance. They won. If you ask me, Dan, they won the coin toss and still had a chance.
Yeah. You know? I mean, they still had a chance to win. To be fair, that's 100% pass interference.
It's a horseshit call.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
And the league knows they were wrong. And, Dan, I'm getting crap on Twitter because I'm like, good call. Good no call.
Well, that's on you.
Well, that's because I had the Rams.
I know. Of course. I get it. I'm just saying that's on you. It was a terrible no call. However, it doesn't remove the fact that, you know, they still got the ball in overtime and people are complaining. And again, now people are complaining about the overtime rule only because it's the Patriots. And that's true. It's a true story. It's a real thing.
3-0. You know,
people only complain about rules when it's the Patriots. And honestly, I used to not believe that. I used to say that was a bunch of BS, but it's true. It's fully true. And so
it's 3-0 when they play in overtimes.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not surprised. The well-coached teams win late. And Andy Reid, again, sucked down the stretch, not calling a single timeout, not letting his team rest. I mean, it's overtime. Use your timeouts, Andy.
Yep. I predicted it right. I bet it right. And we have a Rams-Patriots Super Bowl, a rematch from 2002 season, the 2001-02 campaign. Just off the bat, this week's been bad, Dan. I love everybody, okay? But have you heard people trying to, like, talk about the line? It hurts me. it becomes painful when people try to tell me, oh, this is why the Patriots are favorite and be scared. So, for the record, the Saints were favored to start, and they should have been. And money came in on the Patriots. And now they're going to wait for money to come in on the Rams, and it will be closer to one or a pick before kickoff. But can you just explain, please? Because it's been killing me all week. Everyone's trying to think that they know what's going on with the line. We just dumb it down for everybody of why it opened as with the Rams and now it's gone towards the Patriots.
Yeah, this is very simple, guys. Okay, when a team opens there's a line that's open. Okay, that's when the books, you know, believe that there'll be some 50-50% money on the time. Most of the time, not all the time. I'd say probably 60-70%. That's the goal. Get 50% of the money on the same side. The Rams open as a -1 favorite because that's where they felt that, you know, the money would be around. Some books open as Patriots -1. Most books open as Ram -1. The reason that Pats are 2.5, it does nothing to do with players. It has to do with the fact that sharps are consistently betting the Patriots. And now it's not just the sharps, it's the sharps and the public. So you're seeing about, you know, 70% more the bet and the money on the Patriots, which again is never a good thing if you're a Patriots fan. For me, you know, that's when the NFL starts putting in all their little shrill tactics. You know, honestly, if the line stays at 2.5, I would not be surprised if the Pats won by like 1 or 2. Like that's just the way it would go because the NFL wants their money and they aren't cahoots with Vegas with that stuff. And if you don't believe that,
you're saying the cahoots.
Yeah, right? Listen. It's true. It's true. You talk to enough people, you know what's going on.
I'm like the wrestling fan that, you know, you can't tell me it's predetermined.
No, it's not. Hold on. It's not predetermined. Let's get that straight. Predetermined is incorrect. Now, I think that maybe there definitely can be some influence in games, but predetermined in terms of the lines, a perfect example, 2 years ago, the Broncos and the Panthers opened after playing the Super Bowl, right? They opened on Thursday night. The Panthers were 2.5-point favorites in that game. They had 92% of the money on them. It was ridiculous. It's one of the easiest bets I ever made. I had the Broncos bought up to 3. It was one of the larger bets I've ever made, and it was one of the easiest bets I felt like I've ever made. The entire first half was played fair. The entire second half, calls against the Panthers. You know what they did? Panthers went down the field with the final drive and had a chance to win the game with a field goal to win it by 1. That's exactly how the league sets these types of things up. So, if the Panthers have a chance to win that game, it's not about winning. It's about covering the spread. The Panthers had a chance to win that game. Graham Gano missed a 47-yard field goal, and that's exactly what happened.
So I'm going to give a little bit more layman's terms. A couple of years ago, the Patriots and the Seahawks were in the Super Bowl. Seahawks opened as a favorite, and I believe the Patriots were +1 before kickoff. So, like, that's how I see the line a little bit more. I don't know. Again, after watching last week's games, it is hard to see – to at least sit here and say some of the games aren't influenced by the officials.
They are. I mean, yeah.
And listen, I'm not one of these guys. we don't do the show every week to think that, oh, there's a conspiracy theory. It's just, wow. In the end, sometimes you wonder how this shit really does come down to the line. And last week, hey, both totals, if you look at it, right? A one game went in the overtime. If they score a touchdown, it goes over the total. It didn't. Stayed under. But somehow at 14-0 at half, I think the refs certainly got involved in that Kansas City Patriots game.
I think they did, but not to get the point total over. I just think that, you know, there were definitely some questionable calls made on both sides. I think that's a fair way to put it. I think that there were calls made on both sides of that game that were not great. That's the way I put it. Not great. You know, I thought the Edelman play, while I don't think he touched it, really hard.
It was the right call.
Right call, but it's really hard to overturn that, in my opinion.
Oh, like, yeah, and that's why Jerry Jones, the owner, said it himself.
Yeah. He said it himself
that it was because of what they called on the field, it was the right call.
It's the right call. I just don't think that you can make that overturn. So that's kind of my issue there.
But the one thing I'll agree with you on, though, when it comes to the Patriots, I do think that rules are looked at a lot more. Yeah. I'll agree with that one.
Okay, but getting back to the line has moved because the sharp money and the public money is on one side. It has nothing to do with the players. It has nothing to do with anything. The game opened basically at a pick'em. It was the Rams minus one, a pick'em, or a Pats minus one. You're talking about a difference of 10 cents, you know, between the three. It opened right where it was supposed to open. They believe it's going to be a close game right around that one point, you know, that 1 point threshold. And that's why the money has moved the line. It's not anything else. It's not the players. It's not anything else. Oh, they didn't factor in this. And so the line is moving. Nope. That's not why the line has moved, because of the money and because respected bettors. And again, this is what happens most of the time, not all the time, but when respected bettors are placing bets, it's not just one guy usually moves the line. It's usually a group of players, yep, or a, you know, a well-known group of players who are, you know, betting one side. When a well-known group of players is betting on a side, the line will move. And so because of that, you know, obviously books are moving the line because they are getting money from well-respected known players. Now, sometimes books will move the line because of public money, and that's when you just see like a Duke or a Michigan in college basketball, and you just see tons of money pouring in on a side. And so, you know, sharp money, public money, whatever. And so therefore, you know, that's more of a public move. Sharp moves are consistent. The Pats definitely were a sharp move, and now they're a public move. You know, it probably got around the two with a sharp move, and probably got the 2.5 with a public move. So yep. That's
just to throw something in there, Dan. It was reported from some of the casinos that once the line came out, Rams plus one, there were like $250,000 bets in Vegas when the line opened for the Patriots. That's why the line moved. Those are huge wagers.
Yeah. The thing that people need to understand about those huge bets in Vegas is that the Vegas will set those line or set those amounts, like those bet amounts. You know, if you try and walk into Vegas and lay a $500,000 bet, usually they won't accept it. The way that it works is that they'll only accept something like that if you're basically losing a ton of money at other games, blackjack, casino, whatever. Oh. So that's a lot of their limits like that. Those are the reason that they have such ridiculous limits, is a lot of these players are losing money, or at least gambling, you know, on other sects of the casino. So, you know, you'll have your high roll players, and that's pretty much what's going on there. And so that's kind of the deal. And what you're seeing more and more is these guys who bet a ton of money on these games are not exactly respected players. They're actually just more of the guys who, you know, have lost money with the casino or are betting tons of money with the casino. And so that's kind of what happens there. Now, definitely when there's a bet like that, it will definitely influence the line in a specific casino, but you only see a move across the general market when there's enough money pouring in at multiple places. So you're not going to, you know, if someone makes a bet at the Venetian, you know, you're not going to see the Aria move their line because of that. You know, it's going to be a general consensus of movement type of thing.
What would you say the Patriots' record is against the spread in Super Bowls?
Super Bowls that they had? I mean, obviously they covered
nine of them.
Nine of them. I'd say probably 5-4.
2-7.
That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't
How many games came down to the final play?
Exactly. You know? I mean, but the thing is, they covered the first one. So regardless of that, they covered the Rams. Right. Yeah. Yep.
They covered that one 14 points.
And they covered Atlanta. I know for a fact they covered Atlanta because I had the Pats minus 5.5, and that they one won they by won by six.
Because of overtime.
Yeah, they won by six. So I know they covered that one too. So you're telling me they haven't covered any other spreads? Didn't they close the dog for Seattle?
They did. And that's why when I saw today, I saw, and again, I don't want to rat the source out, but
yeah.
2-7 against the spread, maybe 2-6-1. Wait, they won that Super Bowl, by the way, by how many?
Which one?
The Butler Super Bowl. They, score that?
I think they won. I think it was like a 4 or 5 point win because they because well, Seattle needed a touchdown, though, right? Because right, because Seattle needed a touchdown. So I believe maybe that's the opening spread. There's a see what happens is people will do a lot of queries.
Oh, yeah, 28-24. You're right.
Yeah. So yeah. So people will do a lot of queries on opening spreads, and so what happens is I don't go off opening spread history. I go off closing spread history, yeah. And so there's a big difference.
Somebody came up with some research today, which was great, but
yeah, it's not true. I can tell you right now off the top of my head, I can pick a 3 times they covered immediately. So that you know that's not true.
Yeah. So so realistically, they're 3-5, 3-6.
Well, they
and I wonder what the closing line was. You're right.
Yeah, they definitely didn't cover versus either of the Giants games, obviously, and
they
didn't cover versus the Eagles. So that's the three right there. I don't know what the spreads were versus the Panthers and the Eagles back in the day. My guess is that they probably didn't cover either of those
because they were 3 point games.
There is probably 3 or 3.5 at that point. They probably didn't cover either of those. So that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, Vegas.
Another thing too, Rams are 4-0. And their last just 4 games overall against the spread.
And yeah, exactly. And I know everyone's going to be asking for Super Bowl props this week and all that stuff. In reality, we're not going to be doing that this week because we want to save that for next week. So yeah. What I'll do is I'll give you maybe a prop or two that you can find that, you know, maybe will have some value this week. But in reality, most of the lines you're going to be looking at aren't going to change that much. You know, people are asking, oh, heads or tails and all that crap. I mean, really, you know. Do that on your own time, man. I don't care.
I'm all over that stuff.
See, I know. See, that's the I have to have an edge. I have to have an edge to bet it, and so that's not an edge for me.
Can I discuss one just off the bat?
Of course.
Last year, if you remember, before the tails hit 4 years in a row.
Yep.
And I went against it. I took heads, and boom, it hit. So this year, I'm looking at it already again.
Oh boy.
You know where I'm going, right? Going
you're,
back
to you're going tails, yeah. No, I'm not I'm not betting that.
But this is what I do when I'm at the table when I'm betting black or red.
Right.
You know, that so like I have to have action.
You actually have a better shot at the coin flip than you do betting black or red.
50%?
Well, yeah, 50% and it's 48.5% on the tables.
That's right.
So yeah, you have a better shot in the coin flip. It's an immediate win. Four books because there's always a VIG, and as long as they're getting around 50-50, it's fun.
Vic, I already have a friend, the Framing Hammer is what we call him. He's all over it, dude. And you know what's funny? You've showed me this before where there's been a prop bet out and the decision's already been made and they still leave it up where you can bet it, you know?
Yep.
Well, I'll share one for those that are out there. Why not, right? Coca-Cola will not be presenting an ad this year. They pulled out from the Super Bowl. There's a prop bet right now on a website where you can bet that.
Yep.
It's still up.
Yep. There's certainly some of that. There's some of, you know, how long, obviously the national anthem is always
under. When's the last time Gladys Knight sang? And she's not even with the Pips.
Yep.
Go under.
I mean, here's the fun thing about this, Joe, and this is going to be the real interesting part, is I now have a few friends who actually do work in the stadium. And so they, you know, what they do apparently is they practice all this stuff. And when they practice it, like they're doing for real. I have a buddy who who cashed in large and he didn't tell me anything. So I didn't get anything, but he cashed in large just based upon the practice reps of how long the anthem was going to go. And I was like, oh man,
we need to know that. Yep. Dan,
I'm working on it. I'm working on it, Joe. I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Help out everybody over under 985 on this show.
I'm working on it.
All right, so we did well last week. Let's pat ourselves on the back. I might not give out a PP this week. I think it's
– I will.
You're going to give out one? Okay.
I'll give out a few, and so therefore you can relax on the PPs. I know
I'll save mine for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, your PPs have been, you know, not too hot.
They've been cold as ice. Gold.
Yeah.
Stone cold.
I mean, Listen,
it comes down to like the wire, like all of them. And the Michigan game was bad last week.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was I liked Wisconsin that game, but you know what?
Cowboys plus 7, they lost by 8.
Yep, the Cowboys. Yeah, that was a brutal one. The Saints a couple weeks before. The Seattle game. I mean, you know, really, it's been tough. It's been tough.
The Seattle game, we won both bets.
I know. I know. And that's exactly what I'm saying. That's the funny part. It's like, you know, it's
oh my God. Yeah. All right. This is over under 985. We'll get into the Pro Bowl at some point.
We can do we can do that.
Pro Bowl and then NCAA basketball in the NHL.
Yeah,
they only get some time off, so we'll get into those.
Yeah, so I had a flight last night. Didn't sleep at all. Tried to, took ZQL and everything. Didn't sleep at all. So I went down the entire NHL slate for the rest of the week.
Right. And of course, you can listen to other podcasts at 985thesportshub.com. I joined Wrestling Inside the Ropes this week, Dan, and we did a whole Royal Rumble show based off of betting odds. Now, I know wrestling is predetermined, but you know what the Royal Rumble is, right?
Of course.
30 participants come in every 2 minutes apart. They all pick out a number, and whoever wins gets a shot at main event at WrestleMania. And the favorite right now is Seth Rollins for the men, and the favorite right now in women is Charlotte Flair. I'm going with a little bit of an upset in the women's.
No.
I like Alexa Bliss at plus 1,600.
I'm not surprised by that, actually.
And I'm taking an underdog in Elias at plus 3,300 in the men.
Oh, so you're going real doggy.
Yeah, man. They're all. Give me the non-vig. Give me the plus money.
I like it.
I mean, The Rock is in there if you really like him at plus 2,500. I don't know if he comes back, but.
I don't think that's terrible.
So just to share that. So we'll take a quick break and we'll get into the NCAA men's basketball and NHL slate coming up next on Over Under 95.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
Over Under 985, we are back. He is Dan Lifshatz.
Yes, sir.
At Dan Lifshatz on Twitter. I am at Joey Murr on Twitter. And want to do the Pro Bowl right now just to get it out of the way?
Sure. And we, by the way, I just put this out there on Twitter. I asked for questions this week because we haven't taken it to the window in a while.
I like it. Live questioning.
We have a lot of questions.
Well, it's good. Well, we'll save some time for the end then.
Yeah.
Pro Bowl. I don't bet it. I'll be honest with you. I don't do it anymore. There was a period of time, like back in the 2002s, that era where I would bet it. I'd bet the over every year, and it was fun. Now, I don't know who's playing. I don't even know why they're even out there. It'd be great if we go. You probably can bet on the individual contest, but I don't care. So, normally, I don't give a shit about this game. I'm not going to cap this game whatsoever. Eyeballing it, NFC versus AFC. I think the NFC was more strong this year. They're a pick 'em. But what everyone cares about, Dan, is the total. Opened at 59, down to 55. Is there any value in this whatsoever?
I think the value is probably shot at 59.5. I kind of like the under. I just think that these guys are trying less and less, and you know they're having more fun out there, and because of that, they're not scoring as many offensive points. I like the NFC. I'm not gonna bet it. I think the NFC is better. I think there's a lot of money on the AFC because of who the quarterbacks are, but I'm just not a big fan. And betting the Pro Bowl, never have been, never will be, and so I'm not a betting guy whatsoever.
Okay, let's move on. No. That was a great, solid Pro Bowl. And, you know, we're going to get questions. They're going to be like, hey, you guys like Pro Bowl.
Yep, we have a bunch of them already. So, again, my leans would be the NFC and the under. And I know I'm not betting it. And no, I suggest you don't either.
All right. I just it's Friday night, so I just was looking at the board, Dan, and I liked Michigan. They won. I liked Buffalo. They won and covered. I liked Creighton. They won and covered. And these are all square plays. Iona, if you like them, they're a square play. Like Yale was a square. Every single square, I think, for Quinnipiac covered tonight.
I think Ryder was a square play.
That oh, Ryder, not, okay.
Yeah, so I think Ryder was a square play. But the problem is, Joe, is that the squares won tonight. They got slaughtered yesterday. They got slaughtered.
I was going to say, that usually how it is. It's either the night before or they want everyone to blow their money on Saturday.
Yeah, so I mean, again, I posted two plays yesterday. Again, I don't – in college basketball – Similar to college football, where do you find the value? You find the value on the games that are, you know, bet less. You know, everyone's going to ask about Kansas, Kentucky tomorrow and everything. I mean, what I'll tell you is, yeah, you can find a lean in that, but you're never going to find good value compared to most games. So if you want to watch that game and have some action on it, I get it, fully do. But like, if you're like a legit gambler, you should not be betting that game. You should be betting other games, you know?
Can I be honest with you? Last week, Auburn was a favorite over Kentucky.
I liked Auburn in that game too.
Me too. And because of their 3-point shooting, they made a nice comeback. They lost by two, but like, who would have thought that Kentucky was the right side at 6 points? Like, I don't know. And that's what I mean. You look at them this week against Kansas coming off a loss. So like, I mean, Kansas 16-3 now, Kentucky's at home and they're getting 6 points. Six just seems like a lot to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we can do the preview there. For me, if you're getting 6 points at home, right? You know what I mean? If you're getting 6 points on that game, and again, this is just purely looking at the line because I've looked at literally zero for that game. Again, I usually do because I'm usually in for, at least I have been for the past month, just on the weekends here because I'm not available during the week. I've been doing all my college basketball research for Saturday on Friday night. But when you look at Kentucky laying 6 with Kansas, that's a big spread. I mean, really, Kansas getting 6 is a lot, which says to me they probably want you on Kansas. Now, I don't have a good feel for this one. I'm not. I have to be honest with you. I have not done well betting Rock Chalk this year. Have not. I had West Virginia the other day and they beat them outright, so that was good. But I had them. I bet against them a couple weeks ago. Did not do well. It's a team that I've kind of stayed away from. I'm not great at reading them. Kentucky, I've done very well with this year, and when I bet them, I think I'm 3-0 on them. Just looking at my sheet here. I think that Kentucky is the right side, but again, it's unlikely you will see me bet that game tomorrow. It's just, there's so many games and I can find such a better edge in a better spot. You know, usually those games are lined so tight. I'll probably find something better. And, you know, I know people are like, oh, why are you betting on San Francisco and, you know, BYU and all this stuff? I mean, Mount St. Mary's. Well, because that's where I find my edge.
Gonzaga won by 30 last night.
Yep. I mean, yeah. And I had 60,
I think they won by. Sorry.
Yep. And I had San Francisco minus 19 last night. They won by 23. And a couple of days ago, I can't remember who it was, but I had a team to win by 20 and they won by 40. So, I mean, again, you have to find the value where you find it, you know?
All right, just to give a quick breakdown on this game, all right? Kentucky has won 5 in a row. They're 11-0 at home. Kansas struggles on the road. They're 1-3. But
yep.
Kansas has won 13 consecutive regular season games against top 10 opponents. So whenever they played a top 10 opponent, they've won 13 straight games.
Yeah, I mean, those trends don't bother me as much. I mean, listen, it's good to know that Kansas shows up in big games, right? Obviously that's an important thing. But really, they're a different team. So you're not, you know, they haven't faced all those ranked teams. They've actually only faced, what, 3 or 4 ranked teams this year. And obviously they didn't do well on the road. They just lost to West Virginia on the road. So again, it's, you know, I think you'll see the public probably split on this one, right? Right now it's certainly split. The money's coming in on Kansas and the under right now. So that's kind of where the money's coming in. I mean, it's, I, I don't have anything on this one. I don't love either side of that. I just think that it'll be a good game. Those are the type of games I love to watch for the tournament because, you know, you want to watch these teams for the tournament, for the spots there. But betting them on a Saturday when there's like 90 games, it's just you could find better value other places. And again, I think we've been trying to preach that on the pod here. So I think that if you're looking for value, you'll find better value there. And I'll see if I can, find a game for you guys. And obviously, I gave San Francisco a couple weeks ago or whatever. So I'll see if I can find something pretty good for you guys.
So just to give an example on this game here, I would probably take Kentucky minus the six. And the reason for that is, why is it at six? They're at home. They won five in a row. They're hot. Like, ride the home team. They're probably just the better matchup here. But I'm also that guy when I play blackjack and, the dealer's holding a 10 and I'm holding a six. You have to hit. You have to hit. And I don't know. I just look at this one here, and to me, it's like you gotta pick a side. It's gonna be something we're gonna be watching later on in the day. We gotta root for somebody. The line smells Kentucky to me, but I feel like the value is Kansas. So I don't have a pick on it, but this is exactly what's gonna happen tomorrow, Dan. Which way do you go? And it just wouldn't surprise me if Kentucky covered and won outright.
All right, you want a good spot that I think is tomorrow. And again, I haven't done a lot of research into it, so please DM me if you want to bet this game. But you want a spot that I think is a good spot tomorrow.
Yep.
West Virginia just beat Kansas, right?
Yep.
You want a bigger game, whatever. Tennessee just struggled on the road. They find a way to win, whatever. They're facing West Virginia at home. So Tennessee's home tomorrow versus West Virginia laying 14.5. I think Tennessee covers that. West Virginia just played probably one of their biggest games of the year. This is a massive letdown spot for them. Truly massive letdown spot for them.
14.5 on the road?
No, Tennessee's home. So Tennessee's home laying 14.5. Yeah. So Tennessee's a 14.5 point favorite. I think that there's a good chance that they cover that tomorrow. Now, again, I'm not telling you that you should go and bet that game. I'll probably find better stuff tonight. And again, that's what I dedicate my Friday nights for right now because I'm working anyways. So those are the type of games that I like to bet. The other team that I like to bet, and because I've been so locked in on them, is Hartford, because it's where I went. So Hartford versus Albany. Hartford is a 2-point favorite as a 10-10 team on the road. They just blew out UNH the other week. They've been very good, very good versus good teams and very bad versus bad teams. Albany's 5-15, terrible in the conference. They're only a 2-point dog. Would not shock me tomorrow if Albany beats Hartford outright. It's just, again, it's one of those spots. Hartford just had a huge offensive win, and now Albany is, at home. It's tough to go on the road, on a weekend game, a Saturday game, and, travel that out that time. And I just think that that's probably a decent spot. Now, again, I haven't looked into the game. I haven't looked into the factors I like to use. But, again, just eyeballing it, I think that Albany is probably in a good spot there. Same thing tomorrow, San Francisco, a team I've been riding a lot. We've been betting with San Francisco a lot. They just had a huge win the other night. San Francisco is a 2-point favorite on the road tomorrow versus San Diego, who's been actually an underrated team in that conference. San Diego is a 2-point dog. I think San Diego wins that game outright. I will probably be on San Diego +2. Again, I'm not putting it out there as a PP because I'm going to save that for the NHL. But if you would like to bet these college games, and I'll post a few tomorrow for people, but if you'd like to bet these college games and you want to take some advice from the podcast, please DM me, and I'll be glad to look into that with you.
Okay. One game I've looked into, I like it because it's a small number. I actually like the Iowa State team as well. They play at Mississippi, okay? And I think Iowa State's run into a little bit of trouble over the last few games. And I don't know how to read Mississippi. Like, I watched them play a couple of games. I know they scored a ton of points. They got a freshman. Hinton is his name. He had a big game the other night. I watched him on television. But overall, people are going to want to bet this game, Dan. I think the lean will be Iowa State because people have seen them on ESPN and everything this year. But I think Mississippi at home all day in that game.
I would have to take a look at that game. See, those are the type of games I would, I want to take a look into.
Both teams, 14-5, essentially. This is a good little game at noontime.
Yep.
On your Saturdays,
but,
and it's those low spreads. People love those things.
So again, there's for people who like to bet college basketball, what I would suggest you start doing is look for teams, and again, this is not how I, you know, this is not how I approach every game, but if you're looking to just bet off the line and you don't know how to do research or anything, you want to bet off the line, you want to learn how to look for maybe some college basketball games you can find value. What I suggest you start doing, and again, this is how I started when I was in college basketball. I found the home teams that were playing versus probably a better road team. You know, so a road team, you know, good road team goes on the road there, facing, you know, maybe a badder, a worse home team. You know, maybe a under 500 home team, whatever, facing a good conference opponent. A lot of these good conference opponents will still lose on the road. So if you're finding a smaller spread, you're wondering why that is, it looks too good to be true, you know, something on the road that looks too good to be true. A perfect example, last night, I know a ton of people were on Cal State, or were all against Cal State Fullerton. I loved Cal State Fullerton. One of my buddies I talked to on here was on Cal State Fullerton. One of the sharp dudes I've really talked to on here is on Cal State Fullerton. They were facing, I can't remember who they were facing. I think it was Baker, whoever it was Cal Baker, and Baker was like a, I don't know, it was a pick'em. Now, Cal State Fullerton has been terrible all year. I mean, straight up garbage. So, you know, for them to do that, it was just, I was shocked that Cal State Fullerton opened up as a favorite. And or a pick'em. So what happened first? They immediately got bet to a favorite by the sharps, because that's, you know, those are the type of spots that the sharps will look for, those type of games. And so, yeah, it was UC Santa Barbara that Cal State Fullerton was playing. Cal State Fullerton blew them out. And again, they were 6-12 and 3-2 in the Big West. UC Santa Barbara was 14-3. So, you know, those are the type of mismatches you like to look for, and maybe some of those lower spreads. You can find some good value. Yeah, I'm sure.
8 o'clock tomorrow, Syracuse at 14-5, who are 3-0 on the road this year, go on the road to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech are 6-point favorites.
So Q's had a big game the other night versus Miami. I was on Q's, actually, not normally like a side I normally play. They were definitely more of a public favorite, but I just thought that they were in a good spot, whatever, at home. Syracuse, they're going to be in a tough spot. I mean, again,
doesn't this go into your scenario though, of a team that's, you know, similar conference?
Not really, because Virginia Tech's 15-3. So I would say that Virginia Tech is probably a better team than Syracuse. There's similar ACC records. Syracuse 3-0 on the road. I'm looking for more of a spot where you have, you know, an 8-12 or 5-12, you know, home team versus maybe a 14-5 or a 14-4 road team, or, you know, a better road team. You know, a perfect example. This is not a game I would bet, but merely just giving you an example. You know, Pepperdine is 9-11 tomorrow. St. Mary's is 13-8. You know, forget about the line. Just, you know, maybe a spot like that you're looking for, a team that just played. So St. Mary's just played, you know, BYU the other night, and BYU beat them pretty handily. I actually would expect St. Mary's to kind of bounce back decently versus Pepperdine. But, you know, those type of spots, maybe, especially for the introductory bettors, to just kind of get you to stop betting the favorites. See, everyone bets favorites in college basketball. If you do that, you're going to lose money, because what happens is a lot of these road favorites just don't do well. You know, and you'll see some that sometimes home favorites just don't show up. So I'm more of a dog guy in college basketball. I like to find value, or these bigger spreads are just good spots for favorites. It's really the only time you ever see me on these big favorites, just San Francisco, good spot, stuff like that. So that's kind of what I would suggest for, especially for new bettors, or, you know, guys who are just constantly betting favorites, try and open up your repertoire a little bit, and, you know, maybe bet, you know, bet the dog a little bit more. Take some rest. Again, find some good spots that, you know, we're kind of talking about.
Just like AFC Championship weekend. Yeah, like, listen, my analysis was fading the trend. And put a little money on the dog, and boom, boom, boom. Cashola.
You did well there, bud.
So I'm not sure what else you like on the board, but two games stand out to me. Auburn, off their loss last week, was on the road at Mississippi State. Right now, they're a 1-point dog. I like them. And the other one was Arizona State, who's played pretty well. They're a 2.5-point dog at USC. And I just like them in that spot.
I would have to take a look. And you say Arizona State?
Yeah.
No, they just played last night.
They beat UCLA.
Yeah, but again, UCLA was a big. They got an early lead, big spot.
They're at home. They got to close. They got to win games.
Yeah, I lean USC there. I would definitely take USC in that spot. That's exactly the kind of spot I'm talking about. Arizona State just off a big win on the road. Second back to back. I mean, again, they're not really going anywhere because UCLA and USC are down the street. But again, still on the road. They probably didn't go back to Arizona, especially when they're playing in USC 2 days later, a mile away. So they're probably staying out there. USC, decent home squad. Not a bad Pac-12 team, but really struggled out of conference. I would lean USC. Now, again, I'm not playing that. I've not looked in that game at all. But just based on the spots, that's kind of what I would look for. So, but I would definitely give out some college basketball. I'll try and wake up early tomorrow. I've gotten sleep in days, but try and wake up early tomorrow and see what I can do there.
Somebody asked me on Twitter just now, thoughts on Maryland tomorrow.
Yeah, everyone loves this Maryland. Everyone's like, oh, Maryland first half, Maryland, because Illinois. I mean, it's a trap.
Illinois sucks,
but I'm not. This is one of those games where you kind of just get sucked into the
Maryland
favorite.
is one of the top four teams of the country in rebounding.
They're a good rebounding team. They're just a good defensive team in general. I think they play good. I mean, their totals are usually low in like the mid 140s, low 130s. They're a good defensive team in general. The line tomorrow is actually kind of high, 145.5. I'm slightly surprised by that. Maryland opens 11-point favorites and they're down the 9. So to me, that should show you enough that the sharps are definitely respecting Illinois. There's been enough money already pumped in on the Illinois side. And again, 5-14 Illinois side. You won't see me backing them on the road versus Maryland. That is not a spot I like to bet. But if you're asking me, should I lay money with Maryland? I would tell you, okay, if you want to, that's fine. I don't think it's a great spot for them. I think that this is the type of team that you can let your foot off the gas pedal with, and there's a good chance that, you know, that happens. If you want to take a look at the Maryland first half angle, I get that too. But the other problem is that when you bet those first half faves, sometimes they won't show up early, especially for a 12 o'clock game. They won't show up early, and then they'll just put their foot on the gas pedal and win out the second half. So this is exactly kind of why I stay away from these types of games, especially big fave, home, you know, road dog, lower spread than it should be. I stay away. That's usually a stay away for spot for Dan.
One other game someone mentioned on Twitter was the Virginia goes on the road at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's getting 12.5 at home.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, UVA is probably the right side there. They've been great. Now, I don't like them as a tournament team. Let me put that out there right now. I don't think UVA is going to be a good tournament team. I don't think they score enough. And we saw how that happened, you know, what happens when you don't score enough last year, you know, because they were a dominant regular season team and lost in the opening round. Now, they're not going to lose to another 16 seed. Probably not. I don't want to jinx myself, but probably not. But they're not a great offensive team. And when you can't score buckets and you can't match bucket for bucket with good teams, and I know they did versus Duke and they covered that spread, but still, that's not the type of game that they like to get into. They like the low pace, you know, the slow pace, low scoring type of games. I'm worried. I do think that tomorrow is a decently good spot for them. I think they probably cover that 12. That's not a game. You probably will not see me on that game. I haven't looked at the game, so I'm not going to go into it. But just generally based off the spot, I think Notre Dame is an inflated 11-8. I think they're a much worse team than that. They've been getting dominated by ACC teams. And I think Virginia is a better team than they're being given credit for. I know they're number 3.
They're pretty good.
But I just think they're a good team. So I'd lean Virginia there.
All right. So I just wanted to see any questions people threw out at us. Big college basketball day tomorrow.
We have a ton of questions. If you want, I'm glad to kind of go into, you know, any other questions. I know we have Marquette and Xavier questions.
I've watched Xavier a couple of times. If you ask me, I don't even know the line, Dan.
Yeah, I think it's two.
Marquette's the better team.
I have not looked. I think it's two. This is exactly the type of spot I was talking about, Joe. So Marquette just played the other night. They won and covered in that spread. I think it was like 8.5 versus DePaul, if I remember correctly. This is just going off memory, but it was 8.5 versus DePaul. They won and covered. Now they're going on a second road game versus Xavier. I think Xavier's actually a pretty good home team. Have been pretty crappy in the Big East, to be fair. But good home team, 2-point spread. I think this may be the type of line I would look at Xavier. So like this.
Oh, no way, no way. Xavier's lost two. Dude, trust me. I you know what, Dan? Maybe we can make a side bet on this one. Because I'll tell you, I know the sharp play here is Xavier. I know. No, they suck. They've lost two in a row. Marquette's won six in a row. Like, I feel like they're going to kick the doors in Xavier. I've watched Xavier play. Like, they got a big man who can play and a guard. That's about it, dude. They are not. I was like, we can make a side bet, Dan, on that game if you'd like. But I like Marquette all day.
That's not usually the type of game I would bet. I think that Marquette is too good to be getting that little love. But this is the type of game maybe I would look for in a smaller conference that isn't the Big East. I think Xavier's a good team. I think they've struggled early. I think that Marquette is a much better team. I'm not sure I would want to lay the two there with Xavier. That seems even a little low for me, even against a good team like Marquette. And it's not exactly like they've been a dominant home team. You know, if Xavier had been a dominant home team, maybe. But they haven't been an elite home team. So I'd probably stay away from that. But it's a spot that at least I'm going to look at tomorrow. How about that? Is that fair?
I like Marquette. I don't care what Dan says.
That's okay. That's fine. Now, again, but that is the absolute square in you, Joe. You know that, right?
I am staring at that game. I have it circled.
Okay, good. Well, then you know what? Then you can put.
Well, you are right though. Plus two. What the hell is that? That's
okay, so it not only is it disrespect, it's just a it should scare you as a bettor.
They are 9-3 at home.
Who, Xavier?
Xavier, yeah.
Okay, well, so there you go. Good home team. Good home team. Bad road team, good home team. I don't know where Marquette is on the road.
2-2.
Okay. Not great. Who are their two losses to on the road?
I don't have that.
Okay, well, again, this is exactly the type of stuff that I would look into. So you've already given me a head start in that game. Starting to like Xavier a little bit more. Real good home team. We don't know. Marquette's a 2-2 road team. They're 17-3, which means they're an elite home team. Maybe struggle a little bit on the road. 6-1 in the Big East. I bet you that one loss is on the road as well. So, you know, maybe this is a spot where Xavier gets a big upset bid. You have to look at their schedule, kind of look ahead, see what else they have. Is this a huge game for them? How big of a game is it for Marquette? Can they afford a loss here? Et cetera, et cetera. So that, you know, if you're a gambler, this is the type of stuff you want to look for in these spots.
They beat them 70-52 in the last matchup, and one of their losses this year was against St. Joe's back in January.
They lost. So Marquette got destroyed at Indiana, but that was early in the season.
Yeah, that was their other loss.
So at St. John's, they got ruined at St. John's. But you know what? They've struggled on the road. They barely beat Creighton in overtime. They barely beat Georgetown. Definitely did not cover that one. And they've pretty much been playing at home all season. I actually think this is a pretty good spot if you want to bet Xavier, because I don't know, it's tough.
It's juicy, baby.
Because they
it is juicy.
Xavier and an at Butler. That's a tough spot. I kind of like Xavier a little bit. You probably won't see me on that game tomorrow. Yeah,
I like Marquette.
Yeah, Xavier just lost at home to Providence too. They've lost a few good games at home. They lost to Seton by 10. They got destroyed by Whiskey. They lost to San Diego State. They're not exactly a great home team.
I will say this: I've bet Michigan State twice. They are loaded inside outside game. They were down 2 points. Against Iowa, they were a 4-point favorite. They were down 4 points in the half, and the line was 4.5. They went on a run in that second half, man. And that goes to your point about don't take teams first half. You know, sometimes they come out second half or early start, stuff to that degree. But I'll tell you, I think they're one of the top five teams. I think Duke, Virginia, Michigan State. Ugh, do I put Kansas in there?
No.
Like, I mean, give me another team. Because, like, Gonzaga's pretty good.
I think Gonzaga is the most talented. I don't think they're a good team. You know what I mean? I think they have a lot of talented players, but I don't think they collectively play well as a team. Unless they're playing someone terrible, and then their talent just shows through. But collectively as a team, I haven't been all that impressed with how they play, personally. That's me. Honestly, teams that I've been impressed by this year, just in terms of, like, team play, Florida, I like how they play. Michigan State, Nevada has been extremely good when they play together. They move the ball well. Tennessee has been another one that's been extremely impressive. I know everyone thinks that Michigan's been good, but I think they were really hot and they've been really slowing down as of late. I know they covered today, but I don't let Indiana's not exactly a tough place to play anymore. I don't really love what they've been doing. I think they're probably going to be closer to a one and done team than most people think. I don't like Michigan as a tournament team. Virginia, when they play well, when they score, but the problem is they just don't score, but they're so good defensively, it's hard to beat them. So, you know, I think that they're, we'll definitely get into that more as we kind of get near March Madness, and we'll definitely get into the conference tournaments and everything. But I know you wanted to discuss the Celtics game tomorrow night.
Wow, do we get a big one tomorrow?
We have a big one.
Now, just off the bat, okay, gambling terms, flat out gambling, all right, because I'll get you the line here in a second. One team's won 9 in a row, the other's won 5 in a row. And one's going on the road. The line right now is the Celtics getting 2 points at home. Is that line right, Dan Lifshitz?
I don't think so. I think they should be favored in this game. I think the Celtics are a very good team at home, and I think they have enough talent to beat the Warriors. These are the type of games that the Celtics have been awesome in all year. When they need to get up and they need to play an elite opponent, they have done so. You know, they've struggled on the road versus those very tough opponents, but home, they have been nothing short of fantastic. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think they're going to win this game. I do. This is exactly the type of game that they win. Great opponent at home. You know, a team that, you know, Golden State doesn't need this win. They don't really need to try tomorrow night. To me, this is exactly the type of game, you know, they'll probably try and, you know, get after Boogie a little bit because, you know, he's still recovering, not there yet. I think that, you know, they're going to be all over Steph tomorrow. They're going to make KD and those guys beat them. I think the Celtics win this game. Am I going to bet it? No. I do think that there's a good chance that this game goes over. The Celtics are going to win this game. They're going to have to score some points. They're not going to hold Golden State, you know, to 100 points. It's not the way that they're going to win to beat Golden State. So the way they have to beat them, I honestly think is going to be, it's an overplay in that one. I would lean the over there. I lean the Celtics as well. I just think honestly, and again, people can call me a homer. I rarely bet the Celtics. I tell you, most of the time they are overvalued. But there are a few teams that still, there is some decent value sometimes. Philadelphia usually presents value. Toronto, Golden State, very good, and Houston. I think this is good value tomorrow. I think the Celtics +2 is a decent play if you want to be that guy. And honestly, my actual favorite play in the game is the Celtics +0.5 in the first half. They're an elite first half home team, really an elite first half home team. And Golden State has a track record of being a terrible first quarter team. Boston struggles in the third quarter, and Golden State is the best third quarter team in the league. So I would not be shocked if the Celtics took a 5 or 10 point, you know, lead into the half, and Golden State made it up in the second half or in the third quarter. I would not be surprised. Now, if that game doesn't go that way, that's fine. But Celtics +0.5 in the first half is a lean that I like a lot.
All right, I think there's value in the over of 230.
Agreed. Agreed.
So that's where I see the value off the bat. I don't know, man. I haven't really been impressed with Golden. Like, I guess when you look at the two teams, right? Who's been more disappointing? Has it been the Celtics or has it been Golden State?
It's been Boston. It's not even close. It's been Boston. They've been disappointing versus bad teams all year, and unfortunately, that sucks because they're such a good team. They have so good, you know, they're not a good team. They have such a good collection of talent, but generally as a team, they suck.
Great collection
of
assets.
Yeah. Assets and talent, exactly. But as a team, they suck.
So since the whole Warriors dynasty began, Celtics are 3-5 against Golden State. Their average loss between all those games is 6.6.
Yeah. I think it's a good spot. Boston always plays Golden State tough. They know how to play them, you know?
Yeah, and just from betting terms, I don't like the Celtics in this spot.
I do. You're going to see a ton of money coming in on Golden State. Golden State does not need this game. This is a huge game for the Celtics. You know, a game that we've already been talking about all week here on radio.
Yeah, Kyrie's rested. Horford's rested.
I mean, exactly. If anything, this might be the best spot the Celtics will ever have versus a good team like that. And to me, this is a clear you bet the Celtics or you bet nothing in this game.
Probably. I agree with that.
Honestly, that would be the way I look at it. Also, tomorrow, Pacers -4 versus the Grizzlies. I still think that bettors are forgetting that Victor Oladipo is gone for the year. So Memphis, again, best first half team in the league. Memphis +2 first half. Would not be surprised if Memphis covers that two in the first half either. So it's just another NBA spot. Nothing I love. Nothing I might not play that. It's a late game tomorrow night, so at least I'll have plenty of time to look into that before tomorrow. But that's not a terrible look either.
Okay. Any NBA questions we got in the vault?
I mean, we have a ton of questions if you want to go through.
Yeah, let's spin them around. I'm just trying to think. I don't know if there's any other games, but, you know, I just think that the games people will bet on this weekend will certainly be, you know, that Kansas game we were talking about against Kentucky. You know, I think that one's people will bet on a lot. And then we got the, of course, Saturday night Celtics and Warriors. You know, Pro Bowl, we mentioned that for Sunday. So are we really missing anything else?
I mean, pretty much all the questions I've been asked are, you know, what teams are going to tail them college basketball, teams to fade and stuff. Again, what I would tell you is that's not the way I bet. I bet in spots, you know, trends of first half and second half, stuff like that. You know, thoughts about teasers. Do I ever bet them in the NBA? If you're betting basketball teasers, you got to stop.
Oh, what's the point? They don't even give you enough.
Yeah, it's straight up terrible. That's just awful in my opinion. Do you bet on the Pro Bowl? I mean, you know, we did live bets at half, you know, halftime bets. We talked about the Iowa State and Ole Miss game. You know, if you think that a team is going to come out hot and early, then there's always some value in live betting a game. You know, there's always some value in live betting a game. Or if you want to double down, you really have to be, you know, be careful about that. We had a lot of questions about the Kentucky Kansas game, a ton of Maryland first half questions, four of them. You know, so to me, that's silly. People are asking for spot identifiers in hockey. Spot identifiers in hockey, the way I would look at it is, to me,
I love the first period stuff.
Right. So first periods are fun.
It's great.
For me, one of the biggest things about hockey is where the opening line is. I feel in hockey, because it's such a niche sport and it's not heavily betting in Vegas, and there's a lot of bettors who don't bet it, the opening line in hockey tells you more about that game than almost anything. If you see a huge favorite in a game where they should not be a huge favorite, usually that team wins. You see a line where it should be 6 and it's 5.5, usually that game goes under. A lot of the spots in the NHL are where the lines open, and then you can kind of do your research from there and figure it out. Where's this line? Okay, now why is this line like this? Is it because of the schedule? Is it because of how they play at each other? Is it because of the style, the dump-ins and everything? You know, do the coaches have a good matchup head-to-head versus each other? A lot of stuff goes into the actual looking into the games, but really, when I generally start with my NHL, and again, I know this is probably not, you know, how you like to do it, but I generally look at the line first. So, you know, people are asking, what should your bankroll be? As much as you can afford to lose. After
what's
that,
great is, oh yeah, what's great? What's great about Bovada betting is that when people ask you for a limit, if it's $200, you put $200 in, and that's all you can bet for the week.
Yeah,
I think it's great to do it for them.
I hate Bovada, so I will never suggest you ever use them. but yeah. So there you go. Let's see. You know, Pat, way to bet the Super Bowl. We'll get into that next week.
Yeah, prop bets all next week. We'll get them all. And I see a lot of value, actually, on the board.
I do, too. I think that there's some good bets to get into there. But, yeah, we'll definitely get into that next week. And then I guess I just kind of wanted to get into some hockey spots I looked at. I'm not seeing a ton of other questions that I think are worth probably answering at this point. A lot of just the same, you know, Kentucky, Kansas, Maryland, stuff questions. So some spots I saw this week that I liked. January, so right now it's All-Star weekend, so games really don't pick up until Monday or Tuesday. So I'll just kind of go into it. The Devils take on the Penguins on the 28th. The Pens have a real tough schedule coming up, a lot of good teams. And the Devils, I think coming out of the break, a lot of these good teams will start slow. And so what you'll see is, you know, a lot of big faves will start slow, especially the first couple of games, kind of how it's how it's been the past few years. I like the Devils to actually get the team total over versus the Penguins early. Now, one of the things that people don't understand about betting hockey is you don't know the line, right? You don't know the line. So the team total, I have a 2.5. It's at 3.5. I probably, you know, maybe a small play. But it's hard to look ahead at these hockey lines or hockey games without knowing the lines. It's also hard to predict under spots because you don't know injuries and everything. Overs are a little bit easier to bet, but under spots are harder. So I did pick out one under for you guys, but in general, it's hard. The 30th, which I believe is like, a Thursday or something, Wednesday. The Pens then face the Bolts. I think that game is should be at over 6.5. If it's lined at 6, I would probably be a little bit worried. Maybe a first period over play there at 6. But if it's at 6.5, I do like the over in the Penguins-Bolts game. I think that game should definitely be lined at 6.5. So if it's not, I would worry. I would stay away. But I think that, you know, that is a game I would look at. The Rangers-Devils, that's on a Thursday. That is the 31st of Jan. That should be over 6 as well. If it's not at 5.5, I like it. At 6.5, it's definitely a play as well. Those teams light each other up. It's a good spot. They're both offensive teams who consistently play no defense and score a lot of goals with average goaltending. A lot of good spot for both those teams. Devils will just be, you know, will be mostly fresh for that game. The Rangers as well. So I think that would be a pretty good spot for an overplay. An underplay for Friday, next Friday, the Knights and Hurricanes, under 6. If it's at 5.5, I really would like that play. At 6, I think it's okay. If it's at 6.5, or even if it's juiced to the under at 6, I would probably let that slide. Again, it's hard to predict underplays, but I'm just kind of giving some spots I like. Islanders, Bolts, first period over, maybe a small play at 6. If it's at 6, I probably wouldn't play it. At 6.5, I'd probably play the over in the Islanders, Bolts on the first. But definitely the first period over there is the spot that I like. Those teams consistently go over the first period. Just high-scoring first-period teams and consistently play each other. A lot of fast players on the ice in that one. And on the first, the Wings and Leafs. First period over, full game over, 6, 6.5. As long as it's not listed at 5.5 or 6 and it's not juiced, you know, if it's listed at 6 minus 130, then I'm going to be scared. But, you know, it's hard to give out PPs when the games are a week away and the lines are there and there's no injuries, but I'll do my best. So what I'll do is I'll give out two PPs. The Rangers Devils on the 31st over 6. Again, as long as it's not lined at 5.5, it's at 6 or 6.5. I like the over in the Rangers Devils game. That's on the 31st. That should be Thursday. And then Friday, the Wings and Leafs. I think that's a real good goal scoring spot for both teams. If it's at 6, that's fine. Maybe a little bit smaller. 6.5, I really like it. I also like the first period over there. Again, as long as the over is not juiced to like minus 130, because once you see lines like that, they're just kind of getting overinflated on one side and they're not moving it. That's not great.
All right. Well, I'll just give out a couple right while we're at it. All-Star game, give me the over 9.5 in both games.
Okay.
And David Pastrnak scores a goal.
Well, I think there's 4 games now.
I see Central versus Pacific and Metro versus Atlanta.
Right, and I think there's a winner's game or whatever. So I think they play more. So
that's what I got early on.
Okay, that's fun.
And I believe that's going to be it for this week, Dan.
That's it? Those are your only PPs?
I got none. Aren't PPs.
Not PPs. Okay, not PPs. I have two PPs.
I'm taking a PP off.
Yeah, no PPs for Joe. I'm giving out the PPs. Wings Leafs on February 1st over 6, 6.5. Again, if you want to ask me closer to the game, that's fine. I'm certainly understand that. And then Rangers Devils January 31st over 6. I like that a lot too. And I will definitely talk to you about the other spot, the other four spots we just talked about throughout the week. So you guys can always DM me or whatever. If I don't get back to you right away, don't get upset. I get, you know, I'm busy. I also have another job and I do stuff. So, you know, I don't get back to you right away.
We're real people, you know. We're real people who go out of our way at midnight to do podcasts. All right, Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Murray. Listen every week, and all prop bets next week and Super Bowl 53 should be a good one, Dan.
Yes, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. And by the way, please stop betting parlays. They are stupid. Don't waste your freaking money. You guys are not good bettors to be betting parlays. I'm not good enough to be bet parlays. I only know one person in life who's successful at betting parlays. One singular bettor. And I've known him for a long time. He's the only bettor I know. Stop betting parlays. You're not good enough to do it. You won't win long term. And I know that because I'm not good enough to do it to win long term.
But when they hit, just kind of like the Rams and Patriots will parlay their money line.
Stop it, Joe. We're trying to wean them off that.
All right, it's over under 985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.